Right, we are in the book of Daniel tonight. We are in chapter number 8. I will confess tonight that I'm one of the upsides of COVID and not being able to do much is I need more study time on this one. And I've been doing it and digging and getting out the pick and the shovel, and it's been fun. Really been enjoying this, and tonight we're going to see something here, a few things I think that are going to be an encouragement to us. Also, kind of a neat thing, the way God works and the way He designs and the way He plans. It's all about Him. So tonight we're looking in Daniel chapter 8. The visions keep on coming. The visions keep on coming. And we're looking at an apocalyptic ram, goat, and little horn. Ram, goat, and little horn. How about that? God has a sense of humor, and also they have meanings as well in some of these cases. So let's ask God's help and direction as we consider tonight this wonderful book of Daniel. Father, thank you, and we give you praise tonight. You are our great God, our great Father in heaven. We ask tonight that you would guide us through our passage in Daniel chapter 8. We ask also that you would guide and direct thy people in these days. And we ask that you would enable us as we go through some of Daniel 8 tonight, that we can really, really trust and depend in you. You hold our tomorrows, and you know what's way ahead, and you always have. And so we ask tonight that we would take some real comfort and solace in how great you are, and how much you know, and how much you understand. It is far beyond any of us can even imagine. So I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message and guide us in this time tonight. And may we see our great God high and lifted up. May we see His power and His control and His direction as we look at this passage tonight. We give you praise, give you thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, 2 years are going to pass between Daniel chapter 7 and Daniel chapter 8. That means that Daniel has had 2 years to think on and meditate on that vision of chapter 7, that vision of the four beasts, before God gives him another vision. And the events in Daniel, it's interesting, they are not written in chronological order. If we were to put the chapters in chronological order, they would go like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. So far, so good. 3, what happened in chapter 3? That was the fiery furnace chapter. All right, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4. Chronologically, then comes 7 and 8. Then back to 5, and then 9, and then 6. What was in 6? That was the lion's den, right? And then we finish it out in chronological order with 10, 11, and 12. So it's interesting how that works. 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, back to 5, jump forward to 9, back to 6, 10, 11, 12. Now, Daniel also wrote in two different languages when he wrote the book of Daniel. Chapter 1 begins and goes through chapter 2, verse 3. In Hebrew, he writes, that is the fall of Jerusalem and the deportation of the people of Israel. Then he switches in chapter 2, verse 4, through all of chapter 7 to Aramaic. This is the period of Gentile rule, and the Chaldeans could read his writings. It's about them and their times as well. And then he switches back to Hebrew again in chapter 8 through chapter 12, where the Jewish people and their place in God's prophetic plan are laid out. So we have two different languages going on here in the book of Daniel. Now, the revelation in chapter 8 was given to Daniel before the fall of Babylon, as recorded in chapter 5, where we've already been. Daniel could interpret the handwriting on the wall in chapter 5 because he already had received the prophecy of chapter 8. So again, we see that 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, 5, where he did that handwriting on the wall. When Daniel interpreted Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, he knew that Babylon would be overpowered by a second kingdom. And in turn, the second would give way to a third kingdom. But he did not know at that time exactly which nations they would be. Now, in chapter 8, where we are tonight, he was told precisely who the two succeeding kingdoms would be. So if we jump ahead in chapter 8, since we haven't even started in verse 1 yet, but if we jump ahead in chapter 8 to verses 20 and 21, this is laid out very clearly. Okay, we're looking at these various animals tonight. So in verse 20 of chapter 8, the ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. 21. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia or Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king who was Alexander the Great. All right, so that's kind of a little bit of going ahead there for a couple moments. Now, one of the strongest evidences for the divine inspiration and inerrancy of Scripture is the fact of fulfilled prophecy. God said it's going to happen. 300 years later, it happens. Exactly the way God says it's going to happen. God alone can predict in advance what is going to occur hundreds of years later. So just that fact alone should make you say this is where it is at. The Word of God is true. It is, you can trust it. God has said it hundreds of years before, and it has come to pass. This is one of the miracles of inspiration. And an example of that is before us tonight here in Daniel chapter 8. So we don't want to miss the wonder of all of these neat things that we're looking at here in Daniel chapter 8 tonight. The miracle of prediction and fulfillment should strengthen our faith, and it should challenge the thinking of all the doubters out there. That brings us now to point number one. All of that for introductory material to kind of highlight some things. And now we'll get into Daniel chapter 8. Point number one, God gave Daniel a vision. God gave Daniel a vision. This will take Daniel chapter 8 verses 1 through 14. And we'll be looking at those verses only tonight. This will be part one of this message. So Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 are related, but they are different. Chapter 7 gave a vision of the four great kingdoms. Chapter 8 is narrowing the vision to focus on Medo-Persia and Greece. It's going to confine to that in chapter 8 tonight. It details personalities and events related to Greece and what will happen during its rise to power, 331 to 146 BC. And God's going to just tell us how it's going to happen before it ever happens. It's going to be a tough time for God's people, Israel. There is going to be great suffering that they are going to go through, and in a little while we're going to see why, and you probably already know why they are going to be enduring a great deal of suffering. So, as God is working through Daniel in writing this book, He is being gracious to his people Israel in preparing them for what's coming. Now, if God told us tonight that there is a great time of suffering coming for the United States of America, would that make you pause and say, you know what, I better really get close to God right now? Now, you would think that that's what Israel would do, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think that's what they would do? Don't you think that's what we would do? I would hope that that is what we would do. So God in His grace is preparing them for the future. His people are going to face suffering like never before under the little horn Antiochus Epiphanes. He is an evil Antichrist type ruler who would attempt, and he did attempt, to eradicate completely every trace of Israel's faith, worship, and life. He was out to do the same thing that Hitler was out to do. And we know that's not going to happen. God's word makes it very clear, Israel, they're not going away. They will be back, and it's going to be great. It's just not yet. So God's people will need this revelation that Daniel is giving in here in chapter 8. And you would think it would cause people to lift their eyes to God and to repent and to beg for mercy and ask Him to please be gracious to us. So as we look at the current landscape of America today, you would think that people in America would lift their eyes up to God, would you not? I believe many are. I believe there are many more than 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal, and there's millions that have not bowed the knee to Baal. However, we need a massive revival in this country. This word here in Daniel 8 is a good word for us today, too. Subpoint A tonight, God who knows the future predicted the rise of Medo-Persia. God who knows the future predicted the rise of Medo-Persia. Chapter 8, let's read verses 1 through 4. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, remember him? A vision appeared unto me, even unto me Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the first. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw, I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw in a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. Then I lifted up mine eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram which had two horns, and the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward so that no beasts might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Now notice again as Daniel's going through this, he's always talking, now I saw that. I was watching, I saw that, and this is what God revealed to him. Daniel receives now a second vision in chapter 8. Got one in 7, got one now in 8. The first vision was in the first year of Belshazzar. The second vision here in chapter 8 is in the third year of Belshazzar. Note that Daniel saw a vision. Daniel is watching a sci-fi motion picture. That's what he's doing as he's viewing, as he's seeing these things that God is putting before him. He is seeing and he's breathing heavily as he's watching this fast-paced movie. And Daniel was transported by a vision to the fortress city of Shushan, the capital city of Persia, in the province of Elam by the river Ulai. He did not travel physically. He traveled in a vision. God showed him this. He did not travel 220 miles to the east and 150 miles to the north to what is now modern-day Iran. Like John was transported, Daniel was transported. Daniel is transported by vision to Shushan. Must have been a beautiful thing to see. Must have been awesome. Interestingly, the Code of Hammurabi was discovered in Shushan in 1901. Daniel looks up, and there was a ram with two long horns. Now, I think of a ram, I think of Ram trucks. Dodge Rams. And they have the ram and the big horns on their emblem. Okay, so Daniel looks up. He didn't see a Dodge Ram. He saw a ram with two long horns. And one of those horns was longer than the other one. And that longer one came up last. This is Medo-Persia. Go again to verse number 20. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia. The longer, stronger, higher horn denotes Persia's greater strength and their dominance. The ram was the right symbol for this. So God predicts this way ahead, okay? When the Persians went into battle, they went into battle and they took a ram with them out front. Wonder how that happened. You see, God knows all of this. Way, way, way ahead. They used a ram as they marched into battle. The ram under King Cyrus and his successors extended that empire, charging west, north, and south. Nobody could stop them. They ran over everybody that was in their way. They dominated, they trampled them, and they became great. For some time, the ram is going to look like nobody can ever wipe them out. That they are just here to stay. They appear to be unbeatable. And the ram cleaned house all the way until God said, "You know, guess what? You're going down. Somebody else is coming up." So the invincible ram is going to go down because God raises up and sends in a male goat. Unlike anything the world has ever seen before. Brings us to subpoint B. God, who knows the future, predicted the rise of Greece and Alexander the Great. God, who knows the future, predicted. We want to keep emphasizing God predicted this. He said, this is what's going to happen, and that's what happened. God, who knows the future, predicted the rise of Greece and Alexander the Great. Let us proceed with verses 5 through 8. And as I was considering, behold, and he-goat came from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And he came to the ram that had two horns, which I had seen standing before the river, and ran unto him in the fury of his power. And I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler. Another one of those interesting words. It means anger, irritability, bad temperament, rage. So, and I saw him come close unto the ram, and he was moved with rage against him, and smote the ram, and brake his two horns, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven. So the ram looks invincible until the prediction that God said there's going to be this goat, and this goat is going to come flying across the land. It's like he's not even touching the ground. He's so fast. And they're just going to come through, and the male goat comes from the west so fast he does not even touch the ground, and the whole earth feels his fury. And the male goat has a conspicuous horn between his eyes. Everybody agrees the male horn is Greece, and this conspicuous, the male goat is Greece, and the conspicuous horn is Alexander the Great. Verse 21 makes this very clear. We considered that one again. Let me just read it one more time. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, or Greece. And the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. Well, Alexander's life is rather short, 33 years. And who would have thought that he would be done, his rule? I mean, unbelievable reign. And 356 to 323 BC, although he himself was short in his reign, the Greek culture affects the whole world to this day. Now, when I think of Greek culture, I don't think of all their philosophers and all that. I think of Greek restaurants. Now, I know that has nothing to do with this, but they're good. They're good restaurants. Okay, so Alexander quickly and decisively defeats the ram, breaks those horns. I mean, they're gone. He destroys the Persian Empire. The goat took out the ram permanently. The ram is dead, and he is gone. At the pinnacle of power, Alexander dies. So this one conspicuous horn in between the eyes of the goat is broken. Alexander the Great is taken out. God called his number, and he left this earth. So, four kings are now going to divide up his empire. And they're going to continue in various forms until the mighty Roman Empire comes on the scene. The detail and accuracy of God's prophetic word is quite amazing. Now, Daniel is seeing all of this that we just talked about. He's seeing this hundreds of years before it ever happens. It's amazing. This is the power of God and His word. God, my word is not going to pass away. My word is truth. It is accurate. It's not going anywhere. There is nothing else like the Holy Bible, the Word of God. Subpoint letter C. God, who knows the future, predicted the rise of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. God, who knows the future, predicted the rise of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Daniel chapter 8, verses 9 through 14. Beginning in Daniel chapter 8, verse 9. And out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land, that's Israel. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. An host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. We're talking here about the persecution of God's people, Israel, by reason of transgression. They were irreverent and ungodly people. And God said, I'm going to have to deal with that. Of course, God was doing that a lot. Okay, so, by reason of transgression, and it cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. How did that happen? By divine permission. God allowed that. Okay, verse 13. Then I heard one saint, one angel speaking, and another saint said unto that certain saint which spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, until 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So God, who knows the future, predicted the rise of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. Following his death, Alexander's kingdom was divided among four of his generals. In verse 9, the vision narrows its focus to just one of them, and a little horn that emerged and grew extensively toward the south, Egypt, the east, Persia, and toward that beautiful land of Israel. Again, there is unanimous belief that this little horn is the evil king Antiochus IV, who emerged from the Seleucid Empire many years after the death of Alexander the Great. He's going to reign from 175 to 163 BC, and he will severely persecute the people of God, Israel. The horrible deeds of Antiochus IV Epiphanes, a title he gave to himself. It means God manifest, or the illustrious God. That's what he named himself. How arrogant can you get? Now, his enemies had a different name for him. They called him Epimenes, meaning madman. So I guess he was really nuts and crazy and did horrible things that just off the wall. And so his wickedness is addressed in the verses we just read, but also in verses 23 to 25. So although we're not looking at those verses tonight, we'll go ahead and read them. It gives us more insight into that. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressions are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people through his, he's a very shrewd, it means he's a very shrewd operator. And through his policy, or through his deceit, also he shall cause craft to prosper in his, I got that wrong. Through his policy, which is his shrewdness, also he shall cause craft or deceit to prosper in his hand, and he shall magnify himself in his heart. He gave him the illustrious God. And by peace shall destroy many. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand, meaning he's going to be broken by the hand of Almighty God. So these people, they come up, they get big, they think they're the greatest thing, and eventually they are going to go down. God is going to take them out. So this is his wickedness. We see the wickedness of Antiochus IV Epiphanes in verses 10 to 14 and 23 to 25. So the little horn of chapter 8 is Antiochus IV Epiphanes. The little horn of chapter 7 is the Antichrist. Antiochus' brutal persecution of God's children began around 170 BC and lasted 7 years. Now, I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't like being persecuted for 7 years here in America. Would you like that? So atrocities that we don't even know about, he was performing 7 years. Antiochus claimed equality with God. He was really, he was an antichrist type individual. And he did exactly what Daniel saw in his vision here in chapter 8. In 168 BC, this is 2 years after he is ruling or persecuting God's people. In 168 BC, the temple was desecrated. In 164 BC, it was restored. And that happened to be 3.5 years later. So we can see from God's word, he predicted the future. And everything that God predicted, it did come to pass. So we're going to stop there in our text for tonight, and we'll pick it up next time in verse number 15. Let us pray. Father, thank you tonight for allowing us to gather in the house of the Lord and to look into this prophecy in Daniel. And Lord, may it thrill our hearts and give us confidence in you, how that you said these things are going to happen hundreds of years before they happened. And indeed, every single thing came to pass just as you said that it would. We also see the wonder of you working with Daniel and giving him this vision and showing to a man here on earth exactly what is going to happen and what you're going to do. So may we be thrilled with you, Lord. May we be thrilled with your word. It is power. There's nothing like the power of the word of our great God. We ask you to make bless it to our hearts tonight. We pray that you direct our steps in a wonderful way. Give us a powerful week as we seek to serve you. And may we do it in the confidence of the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.